Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, the list of things that you can buy at the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com. Things to wear like Chicago Reader hats, t-shirts, bandanas, and face masks. Things for your daily life like the Chicago Reader camping mug, Chicago Reader tote bags, and a Chicago Reader reporter's notebook. Things for you to read like our Reader recipes, the Chicago Reader 420 Companion, our Chicago Reader Best Of book series from journalists Maya Dukmasova, Mike Sula, Ben Jarofsky, and Lior Galil, the Chicago Reader coloring book, and the Chicago Reader Stay Home puzzle. Find the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com and show your support for the nation's first free weekly newspaper since 1971.
Bonus time of the Ben Jarofsky Show as I speak. It is Friday. What is today's date? March 15th, 2024, man. Got my distinguished guests looking very dapper, sitting back waiting to come on. I'm going to set the table for this conversation that we're about to have. I'm going to set the table with politics to a degree, and then we'll delve into the sporting event world. So we'll be discussing the Bears, my beloved Chicago Bears that I am insanely loyal to, and have been insanely loyal to since 1966, ladies and gentlemen. Just let that sit in. That said, I do not believe that the Bears should be recipients of a public handout to build their stadium. I don't know what my distinguished guest, his views on that subject are, and I'm not going to push him into the corner on that. I'm against subsidizing the Bears for many reasons, but one of the reasons is this. I'd like to believe that we truly are a society where there's like you earn to a certain degree what you get. And the Bears have been one of the worst performing teams in the National Football League in this century. And they make one dumb decision after another. And if there's any, capitalists like to talk about a meritocracy. They want a meritocracy for everyone else but themselves. So I just want to know, is there anything the Bears are doing right now on the football field? Forget the handouts. They figured out how to get reporters to write whatever they want. Okay, yeah, I give them credit for that. If getting a stadium is based on getting reporters to just swallow whatever you feed them, the Bears should get two dome stadiums, okay? Because they got cranes and the Sun Times in their back pocket, at least. And then TV reporters go, "Oh my God, these renderings are beautiful." Quick, gobble up the lakefront, get whatever they want. So, yeah. So, if success were judged simply by how news reporters respond to your press releases, sports reporters are a totally different animal, by the way. If you want to get a different view of the Bears' handout, the Bears' desire for a handout, don't read the news pages. Listen to the sports guys, Dan Bernstein. You'll get a different view, okay? But I want to know, have the Bears done anything on the football side of things to warrant? I have no idea. They haven't come public with how much they want. But ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a lot of money for that lakefront stadium they're talking about. So that's kind of where I'm going right now with my distinguished guests. That's the setup. We're going to analyze the football side of things to see if they warrant the handout. or are we just like throwing more money? What did Rahm say? Like what his reason for firing teachers and closing schools? 25% of those kids won't amount to anything anyway. You remember Rahm, that guy you elected Chicago, your mayor? So maybe the Bears are the same way. You know, we can take a Rahm-like view of the Bears. No matter what we give them, they're still going to stink. So then we shouldn't give them anything. All right, that's the introduction. Without further ado, I'm going to ask my distinguished guest to introduce himself, and then we're going to take the deep dive. Distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Hey, Ben. Glad to be on the show. This is Moise Bouani. I'm a Chicago public school teacher, former political candidate. Today, as someone said, I had my blue jacket on. They said I looked like a bag of Doritos Cool Ranch. So I'm also the punching bag for every public school student that I come across. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And he's also the girls football coach at his high school. His X's and O's are extraordinary. He texted me. I don't know what it was, like hieroglyphics. His analysis of the Bears is really second to none, in my humble opinion. And on top of that, he's a diehard Bears fan. Okay. Diehard. He's not the affliction that it really paints him in basketball, whichever team is in first place, the front runner status, that has not hit him in football. No matter how good the Packers are doing, he's still going to root for the Bears. He doesn't have front runneritis like many Chicago sports fans have when it comes to football. All right. So we'll start with the most general question and work to the particulars, Moise. The Bears finished the season at 7-10, out of the playoffs. They were humiliated twice by their arch rivals, the Green Bay Packers. It's hard to look at this season and say, oh, this team has earned a $2 billion handout for a new stadium, just dealing it from what they've earned. Has anything happened in how many months it's been? 3 months since the Bears football season closed that would lead you to say, you know what, Ben? I think things are looking up with the Chicago Bears.
So there's two parts to this, right? Do they deserve public money for a stadium? Absolutely not. And that even if they were the best team, you know, it's just, how many cities have had to like continue to put money in? Like I'm still like reminding friends and family members, the White Sox are still paying for their previous stadium, right? Like we still haven't gotten money back for that, comparative to what we put in. So absolutely not. No public financing for private stadiums ever. As for the team and where they're looking at, I think last night was probably a moment. You know, when free agency started, Ryan Poles, who is the Bears GM, is big on building through the draft. He's said it a few times at pressers. He's talked about it intimately. He's talked about it openly that they're not a team that's going to try to win free agency. For me, which is like funny because my brother was like laughing pretty hard about this, but like for me, I was like, are we going to do something last night? And then at the wee hours of last night, the Bears land Keenan Allen, the wide receiver from the San Diego Chargers, 6-time Pro Bowler. As it stands right now, if you look at his career numbers, I think he's caught or has over 10,380 receiving yards. That doubles anybody in Bears franchise history. So he immediately steps in and is the greatest wide receiver on the Bears if you look at yards. So having him and DJ Moore, I think, is extremely, extremely, extremely different as a feeling. I do remember when we had Cutler, Forte, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, and Alshon Jeffrey. So I still think that offense was pretty awesome. Unfortunately, Mark Trestman only gave us one good offensive year. But, you know, here's the thing. 6 weeks from now, there's a draft coming up. The Bears have the number one overall pick. This is the general manager that executed one of the greatest trades ever to accumulate assets that I think right now, if you look at what the Bears have been able to do with the number one overall pick that they had last year, and traded to Carolina. They have, from that, they have the number one pick now. They have Darnell Wright, who's a starting right tackle who looks really good. Their cornerback number two, Tyreek Stevenson, DJ Moore from that trade. And they used one of the pieces from Carolina in a trade with Philly. And that Philly trade pick becomes now Keenan Allen, the wide receiver from San Diego. And they have a second round pick next year. That is Carolina's that they'll have. Yeah, defensively, we're looking at a team that's maybe one more edge rusher away from being a top seven defense. Offensively, we have an offensive coordinator who has credentials, who I'm not crazy about, but is better than what we've seen and definitely has history calling plays. And we have two amazing receivers, a tight end who's in the upper tier, an offensive line that's getting better, and the number one and the number ninth pick coming up in the draft.
So you could say, therefore, that things are looking up a little bit.
Yeah.
There's mm-hmm. You have more reason to be optimistic going into this offseason and then training camp and the next season than you were last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's a sure thing. But like, you know, polls has said that it's easier to build that one team, right? Which is what his predecessor, Ryan Pace, did. He had that one 2018 team, but it wasn't a sustained feeling in Chicago in terms of the playoffs. Now, they did get to the playoffs twice. One was that ill-fated playoff game against New Orleans that, you know, we backed into the playoffs that year. But the way this team is kind of being structured right now, it seems like this is a long-term thing. And it seems like that not only are things on the up, but, you know, we could have a team that's consistently competing for the playoffs as early as next year. And I think with the team we have right now and what you forecast, some of the moves that are going to be made, they should be a playoff team next year. But that division is going to be difficult. And Minnesota is kind of, you know, starting to play their hand about how they want to trade up into the top four quarterback territory so they can be back. And Green Bay and Detroit, you know, were in the playoffs. So nothing's promised, but, you know, this is a roster that's coming around from the complete teardown that was 2 years ago.
All right. And so one of the person who clearly paid the highest price for the teardown was Justin Fields, quarterback. You could argue, and I've done this and you have done this many times on the mic and just to each other lamenting that his progress was set back significantly because the Bears traded away defenders. So the defense was more porous and was incapable of holding, getting the ball back. And then they never, for some reason, the Bears have never understood the significance of the offensive line. That's the, for people who don't know anything about football, those are the guys up front who block and protect the quarterback. For the last 20 years, it's eluded the Bears that you need good players up front to protect the quarterback. It's astounding how much that's eluded the Bears. I'm not quite sure they still have reached the understanding and awareness, Moise, on this point. So the big decision right now, I thought it would be made already, is keeping Justin Fields or drafting Caleb Williams. They have the number one pick. He's the big, the most promising quarterback, according to scouts, et cetera, coming out of USC. So your thoughts on that decision?
Yeah, it almost seems inevitable. Outside of a couple of hardcore fans that I love reading either their blogs, newsletters, or like, you know, catching on to some of the social media stuff that they leave. If I get a friend who sends me like a tweet or a link, it seems like a foregone conclusion that Caleb Williams will probably be the Bears pick. There is, you know, obviously there's a lot of, I've been following this stuff way too much in my opinion. And, you know, I've been bothering you with it. Williams has only met with the Bears for 10 minutes. They want to meet with him. And he had a visit, I think, that was scheduled for this week that got pushed back. Now, Ryan Poles, Peter King, the great reporter from Sports Illustrated, who's retiring this year, had this thing to say about polls that he's very honest. He's too honest to a fault. So, you know, with media and like football being so, so overcovered, we all have so many different opinions, but from day one, people have been saying this guy, what he says is what he means. And he's been saying for a while that he wants to get to know the quarterback, and the Bears have only been able to meet him for 10 minutes. And I think that's had an impact on what's going on with Justin. I felt like you did that press conference after the combine where they made those comments about where Ryan Poles said, we have to do what's right by Justin. I was like, it's over. And you know me, I was like, probably I shut down for 2 days after that. All I did is watch Justin Fields highlights and, you know, just like, you know, I almost started cutting up my own edits of highlights and being like, you know, I need something to remember Justin by. But I do think Justin is going to go. I think the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams. I want to keep Justin and I want to build around Justin.
Explain that. Explain why every day somebody in the Sun Times, a writer in the Sun Times, mm-hmm. takes the other side.
Yeah.
And then most recently the argument that they've been using is, see, the marketplace has weighed in on Justin Fields' value, and that means he has no value. By that, they mean no other team was in a rush to trade for him. And in fact, other teams filled their quarterback vacancies with other quarterbacks. So that just goes to show you there's no value to Justin Fields. You have a different point of view. Go ahead, express it.
Yeah, because we've seen him play. You know what I mean? Like, Luke Getsy was incompetent. They didn't know. I mean, like, so much was put on Justin's shoulders that people forget the Bears had no running game. The Bears had no cognizant run design. They had one receiver. They had DJ Moore, who had a career year with Justin. Cole Kmet had a career year with Justin. We also, I mean, you'd also have to, like, really be a box score watcher, a stat watcher, to think that in his second year, when Ryan Poles had a roster of receivers, Dante Pettis, N'Keal Harry, Equanimeous St. Brown, Brian Pringle, right? These are the names. Do you know where these guys are right now? Many people don't. And no disrespect to them, but like, you don't give that to a second year quarterback and say, we've set you up to succeed. And it's just such nasty business to think about what they potentially have waiting for Caleb Williams and what they gave Justin Fields. He was drafted here by a regime that's no longer around. The head coach did not give him any meaningful snaps with the first team, designed an offense around Andy Dalton, and then threw the kid in his first game, he got hit 8 times. But in between these moments where people want to criticize Justin, where, you know, he has been so resolute in being such a great teammate, being so like straightforward with us, with the media about what's going on, and just, you know, battling in these games without running for his life, making plays with his legs, throwing this, you know, beautiful deep ball, having these games where you're like, man, that guy can play, having no defense, having a team squander leads, right? The Bears should have been 10-7. Right. And when Justin got injured the first time, people forget he was leading the league in touchdowns. He was coming around. Right. But then you can't have this circumstance where you're going to give him no help his first year under you as a regime, after he comes off a regime that didn't prepare for him, didn't help him out in any capacity. And then in his third year, you still haven't settled parts of the offense. You're still putting capital on the defense and say, oh, you know, Justin Fields, right? There's this insane desire that the quarterback just has to overcome everything. But then, like, we see people like Lamar Jackson, who needs an offense built around him, right? 2-time MVP. Or getting Jalen Hurts, a team around him. Or the fact the greatest quarterback, the guy ascending to arguably the greatest quarterback in the game, and will be potentially better than Brady and Mahomes, that they needed a lights out defense this year to get where they had to get, right? Like, you know, they won a Super Bowl. Awesome. Mahomes made some receivers good. But, like, you know, this could have been such an easier year for him if he had one receiver who was, like, a legit number one, right? Why is it that Justin Fields gets to be treated in a different standard? And I think what really upsets me is that this guy has given nothing but everything for this franchise in these 3 years, right? And the fans know. The players know. folks around the league know, right? When you have Hall of Famers coming out defending you, when you have your team saying you're the unquestioned leader, when you have Soldier Field going crazy for you, it's because people see that. You know, I get it. I don't have a lot of positive opinions about Chicago sports media. I get it. They, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be exciting, and he's going to be a lot to talk about. The comparisons are Rodgers. We know he was making $10 million, I think, through NIL in college. This is a guy in himself that has an immense amount of buzz, that will have an immense amount of buzz, right? He went into the combine. He didn't submit his medical records. He didn't work out. Like, he can do all these things that players have not been able to get away with, because there's an aura there, because he is considered the greatest prospect since Andrew Luck. So I get it that Chicago media wants him here, right? They enjoyed when Jay Cutler was here. They loved making every single thing out of any glance Jay gave. And I felt like, looking at Justin, he doesn't give you much. He's just very honest and sincere, right? I get it. It's Chicago, getting the quarterback right. In a city where, you know, we talk about the 85 Bears for some reason still. And I know you and I have talked about this, right? If the Detroit Lions didn't exist, and I'm talking about the Lions as we know, not the Dan Campbell Lions that have been awesome these last 2 years, but the Lions as we know didn't exist, the Bears would be the Lions. I don't know why Justin's getting an immense amount of hate. All I saw was a guy who took punishment after punishment, came back. All I saw was a dude who has the arm, has the talent, has the work ethic, has everything that we ever wanted in a quarterback. And for us to just say that, oh, yeah, you know, a good quarterback doesn't need a space, a system, doesn't need stability. Only in Chicago, I guess, right? Only in Chicago.
I have to think about the only in Chicago part. And that, I'll think about that as I ask this other question. And that is, I already alluded to this, Atlanta. I remember you saying, oh, he's going to go to Atlanta. Atlanta got another Kirk Cousins. They got another quarterback. And so the papers are gleefully pointing out, as I said earlier, that none of these teams that need a quarterbacks have taken Justin Fields. So that vindicates their position, that the Bears should get rid of him.
We don't, sorry for not answering that, but we don't know anything. I think, you know, one of the things about Ryan Pace's, the predecessor, the previous GM, for folks who are listening, because they're both Ryan P. Ryan Pace's administration had so many holes. Like, every day you'd get a leak out of that franchise. One thing I think I was the one who pointed out to you, when they fired Cliff Stein, watching former, who was like their cap guy, they fired him recently. And then seeing like Greg Gabriel, who was a Bears scout in the Jerry Angelo day, who's like just a prominent, you know, Twitter person on the Bears, just like get angry, right? And someone made the comment that, like, you know what Ryan Poles is doing? He's plugging all the holes in Alice Hall. Same thing with Kevin Warren. I've heard Chicago folks speak with certainty about Justin. Oh, yeah, nobody wants him. Nobody wants him. And then you have someone who's actually plugged in Ian Rappaport, who I think is like just behind Adam Schefter, like as the dudes who are plugged in, right? Rappaport was on TV last week. He said the Bears haven't made Justin available. And it's not a Justin availability issue for the Bears. It's that they want to figure out Caleb Williams first. And I thought that was a big deal. Nobody in Chicago media had any idea they were going to acquire, from nonsensical signings in terms of magnitude, Ryan Bates or Keenan Allen. I don't think anybody has a clue what the hell's going on. But if Rappaport at a national level says the Bears haven't been putting him out there, I'm going to trust that over people here who are gleefully talking nonsense when we're realizing that Hallis Hall is like the most tight-lipped structure we have now in sports in the city. So I don't think any of them are true. I don't know if the Bears have been putting him out there. I'll tell you this. Don't come with me to this garbage with me about Sam Howell, Sam Darnold, Desmond Ritter, all this bullshit, forgive my language, that these guys are better than Justin Fields. He's a damn good quarterback, and he would be good on many teams.
So just so everybody understands, when you say putting him out there, what you mean is they're not proactively calling other teams, right, saying, All right. What are you going to trade for Justin? What are you going to give me for Justin Fields?
Yeah.
That's what you mean by that.
Yeah. Correct? And the price might be down, right? And no team is going to try to say, you know, the thing is, the whole process is interesting when the GM has said, like, we might have to put the quarterback out there. Like, there's blood in the water, right? If you're another GM, you're not going to be like, hey, let me give you something when you could potentially get him for less, right? Like, if they're going to drop Caleb Williams, they're not going to bring Justin Fields into camp. I think some people believe that the Bears might be in this strange situation where they would keep Fields and Caleb. I don't think Matt Eberflus can handle that. And I don't think the Bears GM is going to put his team in a position to have that. But if the GM that everyone says has to work on his poker face and his honesty, like, or when he's speaking honestly, has put it out there that we got to do right by Justin. If you're a team, why are you going to go trade for Justin, right? Or why are you going to offer like top billing when you think you can get the Bears on a low? There's that factor. There's also the reality of that Justin's fifth year option is coming up. If he was to get cut and have to renegotiate a new contract, then you don't have that fifth year option. That's going to be somewhere in the 20 millions. And if I get a chance, I'll talk about why Pittsburgh makes so much sense, even if the financial commitment has to happen now. But that fifth year clause, whether you're going to have to say like, yeah, we're going to extend him for year five or not, is a big deal. Also, this is a draft. This is one of those quarterback drafts where a lot of people are talking about, right? There's going to be, in my opinion, there'll be the first four picks will be quarterbacks. And then the guys on the outside who aren't the first four picks, which I think is going to go Williams, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May going third to New England, or Minnesota if they trade up. And I think someone's going to trade up for J.J. McCarthy, the young man from Michigan, Crystal Lake's own, I believe. And then outside of that, there's still people who are going to gamble on a guy like Michael Penix, who I think throws the prettiest like ball. Like, that guy is awesome from Washington. Bo Nix from Oregon. Like, those guys can ball too, and they might end up in the first round. You could see six dudes conceivably go in the first round of the draft. And even on the other end, there's some guys who have some developmental qualities that you might be interested in. Spencer Rattler, for example. So it's one of those drafts, right? But I think Justin is awesome, and I hope that a system that understands how to use him gets him. And then I really hope he smokes the league, right? But I don't want to hear this nonsense of like, you know, I mean, like, don't talk to me about Atlanta, man. These folks retired Matt Ryan for the same reasons, not retired, but they forced him out for everything Kirk Cousins is looking at right now, coming off of an ACL injury, being 36 years old, right? And then this is a franchise that last year could have paid less to get and acquire Lamar Jackson. And now this year acquires Kirk Cousins. They clearly don't know what the hell they're doing over there. So if you're out there being like, oh, yo, they got Kirk Cousins, maybe you should think about the fact that they also completely treated Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP of the league, as an undesirable last year. As for the other folks, you know, Pittsburgh is getting Russell Wilson for $1.2 million. Denver's paying $38 million of that salary. Good job, Denver. Shout out to you. As for Denver, I don't know what the hell Sean Payton's doing. As for Seattle, I guess they want Sam Howell. Geno Smith is pretty cool too, whatever. As for Oakland, let's all consider that a blessing that Justin isn't forced to be back with Luke Getsy, who's Oakland's offensive coordinator. You know, whatever, right? Like,
explain that.
Yeah.
Just explain that. See, nothing makes sense in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's a very strange league. I have a much better sense of the National Basketball Association. There seems to be more logic at play in the NBA. The NFL, like, so here's Luke Getsy. Luke Getsy, for the last, 3 years, has been the Bears offensive coordinator. Every Bear fan in town curses Luke Getsy. His play calling is so predictable and so boring, and it just didn't in any way maximize the immense talents that Justin Fields brought to the table. So it was already bad because the offensive line was inadequate, but on top of that, the play calling was so predictable, as I said. As soon as the Bears get rid of him, Oakland picks him up.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Pace, you alluded to him, made fundamentally the absolute worst decision in the history of football when he traded up to get Mitch Trubisky and passed Patrick Mahomes. Absolutely inexcusable. As soon as the Bears got rid of him, New Orleans picked him up. There never seems to be any accountability in the National Football League for bad performances by coaches or general managers. The only accountability is to players, regarding players. It's a really weird league. I began the show by talking about how there's no sense of meritocracy when it comes to rewarding a team. So the Bears are going to get rewarded or expect to get rewarded, even though they've been absolute abject failures. So explain to me what's going on where a guy like Luke Getsy essentially just gets a promotion. You know, I probably got more money than he got from the Bears. Please explain to me, what's going on in the minds of these people who run the National Football League?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things, right? One, I think the thing that startled me the most was that if Getsy would have stayed, he would have been, I think, the most senior offensive coordinator in the league. Because the thing is, offenses in the NFL, coordinators have a very short leash. People, they get fired right away. We saw so many coordinator jobs open this year, right? And then on top of that, so you have that issue that the league is an offensive league and many teams want to be Shanahan McVay, right? So then you have this firing of all these people. Two, then really this is a league where, like any other league, I mean, we have a lot to, not any other league, but we have a lot to critique, right? Like, one, this is a league where the majority of players are black, but they refuse to hire black coaches, right? Or develop black coaches on the offensive and defensive side. So who are they hiring on the offensive side? Usually if somebody's like, yeah, I shook Sean McVay's hand 3 years ago, you're hired. Right? Like, that's the dudes are, no disrespect. Sorry. I know I'm being a lot of hyperbole here, but like Liam Cohen is the offensive coordinator of Tampa. And he was like McVay's QB coach. And then he went to Kentucky to be the offensive coordinator. And because he worked for McVay for a little bit, Tampa was like, yeah, we'll have you replace Dave Canellis, right? Zach Robinson, who is McVay's QB coach, is Atlanta's offensive coordinator. Shane Waldron, McVay's offensive coordinator, but McVay calls the plays. Chicago Bears offensive coordinator, right? Like, everybody's pulling from the same tree to find like these innovative guys, but you rarely get the Ben Johnsons, right? Like this guy who came out of nowhere, Denver's offensive coordinator, but you mostly get the guys who are Luke Getsy. As for Oakland, I'll say this. I think they panicked and they hired Getsy because they got left at the altar by Cliff Kingsbury. They had Kingsbury signed, and then that guy had he had 11th hour cold feet, and then he went to Washington, and then they hired Luke Getsy. But at the same time, Oakland absolutely got washed by the Bears, and the Bears just ran over them. And that's, they probably saw that. And, you know, they have a head coach, Antonio Pierce, who was like, well, he did great against us. Let's hire this guy. but this is a league that's plagued with nepotism. Right. Yeah. If you're somebody's kid, you're going to get a job. It's a league plagued with like people just trying to copy each other erroneously. It's a league that has some sincere issues with how it treats the development of black coaches into offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, head coaches. Right. The same folks who make up the majority of the workforce do not represent the coaches and the general managers in the league, which is something to be said. As for Ryan Pace, there's some stuff he's very good at. Scouting the defensive line. So Atlanta bringing him on, you know, I mean, we got like Bilal Nichols in the late round, Roy Robertson Harris. There's some good finds. Like Pace's big issue, terrible contract management, 100% ready to trade assets right away. Didn't have a long-term vision about things. Mitch Trubisky was his pick. Those things failed him, but he could hit picks in the third, fourth, fifth round. He could really hit some picks. I'll name one guy that he hit on who is a cornerstone for the Chicago Bears, Jalen Johnson, second round pick. Ryan Pace could hit on picks. He could hit on picks. And that's why Atlanta won't let him be the GM, but they have him in an important role when it comes to like their drafting. As for the Bears, there's this amazing flow chart I send my friend Faraz. I'm going to go with you. Are you over the age of 27? Yes, of course. Do you play quarterback? If yes, you go to the Jets. If no, this is all Green Bay players, former Green Bay players. If no, do you owe your career to Aaron Rodgers? Yes. Then you go to the Jets. You follow him to the Jets. If no, were you actually good? Yes. Then you go to the Vikings, like Aaron Jones, the running back. Were you good? Were you actually good? No, you go to the Bears. That's the Bears in a nutshell.
If you were go to the Bears. Oh my God. By the way, Luke Getsy came to the Bears from Green Bay.
I just want to curse.
That's
so
hilarious,
much.
Man. Bears are always getting these guys from Green Bay and
they suck.
The Bears are so used to losing to Green Bay. See, here's the thing. I got this theory about sports. Sometimes it's just the jerseys. It's nothing to do with the guys wearing them. So, for instance, my beloved Chicago Bulls are incapable of defeating the Orlando Magic jersey. Doesn't matter who's wearing the jersey. You could put Moise in an Orlando Magic jersey, and he would beat the Bulls. Some reason. I do not know. It's the same thing with the Bears and the Packers. Put me and Moise and Nate on the offensive line of the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay jerseys, and nobody would touch the quarterback.
We'll be fine.
It's the jersey, Moeen. So the Bears are just, they go, oh, we got a Green Bay Packer on our team. Well, they're forgetting that the guy's not wearing a Green Bay Packer jersey anymore. Anyway, that's my theory. You guys, makes much sense. It's half the stuff I read in the newspapers as I explain why Luke Getsy got a job after this. All right. So you firmly believe that the Bears will trade Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But they're holding on to Justin Fields just in case Caleb Williams comes off as a total jerk.
Oh, man. Good.
In which case, they'll just stick with Justin Fields. This seems to be your theory. Your theory is they want to do more than a 10-minute sit down. And see the Bears, let me put it to you this way. The Bears have drafted quarterbacks or have traded for quarterbacks who are absolutely unlikable human beings. And to a certain degree, a quarterback has to be a likable human being. And I'm thinking right now of Jay Cutler, who is a thoroughly unlikable human being. I guess now he's softening up as he heads, you know, with his podcast, which is very pro-Trump. And then remember Kay McDowell? That may be before your time.
No, I remember.
Thoroughly unlikable human. He was one. Wasn't he the one who parked in the handicapped parking
space? Yeah, I believe that was Kay.
Yeah. There you go. What a quarterback. And so maybe they're trying to rectify that, Moise, by saying, is Caleb Williams as unlikable as people say? And so they want to meet with him more. I'm trying to find some logic for the illogic of their behavior. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm very, you know, my thing is like all, you know, like all of life is a performance, right? Like I do think when I hear our general manager talk, like there's so much performance there, just like, you know, I mean, I'm a very jaded person now. So when I hear anybody talk, I'm just like, you know, my instincts are like, well, what do you really feel? I mean, people aren't going to show you their hand. Our GM is an extremely well-spoken guy. There's a lot of GM speak. He is phenomenal on the mic. Like you can't catch that guy. That's the one thing I've been thinking about hearing him talk so much over the last few months. It's like, you can never get that guy with the question. He's just awesome at the mic. I do think that he does believe his own stuff that he's selling us, that he does believe, I want to get to know someone, right? Like it isn't as clear cut as him being like, man, you know, Justin isn't good. We have to move on from Justin. I have to pretend he's good so I can get assets. I think he genuinely likes Justin. I think he does. He said some really awesome stuff, and also the behind the scenes stuff of how much he cares about him as a person. And what everybody says about Justin Fields from high school to Ohio State, to Georgia, to Ohio State, to Chicago, he's one of the most awesome people to be around. Awesome teammate. I think there is a definitive amount of love that Kevin Warren, Matt Eberflus, and Ryan Poles have for Justin Fields. So I do think they care. And I do think they want to get to know Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams, I forgot who was talking about it. I think it was Lewis Reddick. in interviews will wow you. Like, to get that guy in a room, he's personable, he's everything you want. There's nothing to worry about. But there is the whole, he's different. He's made NFL money in college. He is going to call his own shots. That's something a franchise that's never had a QB definitely, I think, is kind of worried about. I think they're jumpy about it. So I do believe when you put all that together, the history of this franchise, the importance of this pick, what it means to a first-time GM who's really young, I think Poles is 37 or 38, right? That there is this extreme desire to do your diligence. And I do think that there is truth to what Ian Rappaport were saying, that they want to get to know this guy first, because there is a secondary route. It isn't, this is a guy we have to take and that's it. There is a secondary route of building around this quarterback who people in Hallis Hall believe in, right? That was another thing where Adam Schefter said, there are people in Hallis Hall who really believe in this guy. So he's not like a throwaway. The thing that's scratching my brain, and you know, I'm forgetting the Ryan Pace era, but today Ryan Pace's assistant GM, Josh Lucas, again, I don't want to criticize any of these dudes, right? Like, if you play sports, you watch sports, it takes a ton of work to be where these guys are. But like, this guy is so annoying to me. He's staying in Chicago. His name is Josh Lucas. He hasn't gotten an NFL job. He's had some really interesting hot takes. But today he was on the Hoge and Johns podcast, and he was like, there's a handful of things I've heard that would scare the shit out of me when talking about Caleb Williams. And I'm just like, a few weeks ago, you guys were taking a crap on Justin Fields, the guy you drafted. And then they also revealed that they wanted Mac Jones, but Matt Nagy was the one pounding the table for Justin Fields. And Matt Nagy, say what you want to say about him, he knows quarterbacks at least, right? He was the one pounding the table for Mahomes. But like, there's stuff out there about Caleb. I think Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus need to know what they want to do. We don't know anything, but if you're like a guy like me who's paying too much attention to this stuff, that's what I think is going on. I do think they're going to move on from Justin. I do think there's a destination, but like, I also am afraid to talk destinations now because people are going to be like, nobody wants him if he doesn't end up there, which makes me, you know, angry.
Wait, I know your theory on the destination. You leaked that to me before we went on the mic, so now I'll leak it to everybody else. Mui's theory is that he'll end up with Pittsburgh, which half the guys on my bowling team felt that way as well. He's going to end up in Pittsburgh, and Mike Tomlin will, under Mike Tomlin, he will turn out to be an all-star quarterback, and the Bears will look even more foolish than they already look. I personally believe that if you tie the two things together that I have been addressing today, not just the football side of things, which you and I have been talking about, but the handout phase where you get your stadium. The Bears, once again, have played this horribly. Because put aside the sports writers of Chicago, who were very critical of Justin Fields by and large and want to get rid of him from the Bears. Most of the fans like Justin Fields for all the reasons that you elaborated on. And see, sports writers, they don't understand what it's like to be a fan. Because you think about this. You're at Soldier Field, it's raining, and you're in the rain, right? Sports writers he's covered. He's not getting rained on. And plus, they feed them dudes. Did you know that, Moise?
Well, they're all like happy about Kevin Warren's spread. They've been like, the spread has gotten so much better since Kevin
Warren. They've been warming that stuff. They're like literally eating the Bears' food. They're like, oh, this stuff is good. I'm a sports writer. So, you know, the sports writers, it's kind of funny. They have utter disdain for fans. You know what I mean? And they think they're better than fans because they get paid to watch the stuff, and guys like me, we pay to watch it. So I don't blame them. Some basic human level, they cannot stand the fans. They think they're better than the fans. You know, it all explains why sports writers, by the way, hated Jerry Krause. They thought they were like Michael Jordan. And they would look at Krause, and they were like, no, I'm not like him. I'm like Jordan. That's about 90% of why sports writers couldn't stand Jerry Krause. So when it comes to Justin Fields, they don't understand how much love Bears fans have for a guy who, as you put it, put up with so much, never complained, always encouraged his teammates, celebrated when they won the few games they won, joined the celebration, didn't go all Hollywood on them. The sports writers will never understand that because they're in this shelter. You know what I'm saying? They're not out there getting rained on. And so they'll never understand the feeling that Chicago fans, Chicago Bears fans have for Justin Fields. But if you're Kevin Warren and you want to shake down some city or municipality for public dollars for a stadium, you need to promote someone as the player that the fans can rally around. Like, they're not just giving the money to Kevin Warren or the McCaskies. They're also giving it to Justin Fields. You understand what I'm saying, Moise? So they're getting rid of, if you're accurate, I still am not 100% convinced they're going to get rid of him, of their most popular player. Who's more popular than Justin Fields and the Bears right now? Go. Name one Bear. Don't tell me Brian Urlacher from the past. Right now on the Bears, who's more popular? Nobody. So these guys got their big paws out looking for a handout at the very time they're getting rid of the person the fans like the most. Where does that make any sense, Moise? Please help me again with the logic of people in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love being a fan and as much as I love commiserating with fans, right, because we get it. I really do not like how much the journalist in Chicago detests the fans here. And like, sometimes you'll catch me just getting too so angry where I'm yelling in my car. I'm like, why do you work here? Get out of here. We don't need you here. But like, I don't know, man. Sports are fickle. You know what I mean? Like, I also am part of a city where like a vapid amount of weirdos were like, yeah, this Badgett guy, man, that's who we need. Plays the game the right way, you know? Reminds me of the coach and all that nonsense, right? I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I think, you know, you and I have talked about this. I love football, man. I love football. Like, I love, man, like, I love coaching flag. I loved playing football. I love coaching boys football. I love high school football, especially in Texas. Like, when you get a chance to watch, like, you know, what goes on in those playoffs. I love college football. I love the NFL. And when the European Football League was around for a bit, I was watching that too. That's how terrible I have it. But like, Caleb Williams is a star, Ben. You could argue most Chicagoans won't know, but by the time the draft comes, they will know. They will see his highlights. They will understand who this guy is. So I don't think two areas of jadedness. One, I think, once the media machine starts around him, once people see a highlight, once somebody's friend is like, yeah, this kid's good, okay, bona fide superstar has been drafted by the Bears, then Justin being a superstar, Caleb being a superstar, it'll cancel out. Two, this is also a fan base where if you can, this is a city that will be happy going 2-15 because we have 17 games now, if those two wins are against the Packers. You know what I mean? Like, I've said this before and I'll say it again. And you and I get into this about the Bulls. I'm tired of accepting mediocrity, but like, I don't necessarily know if my fellow fan base is right. And then three, I'm going to add a third part in there. I just want to get this in because I don't know if I'll get a chance to say it. I genuinely am in the same camp as like Dan Bernstein. We're getting played. The Bears are going to build in Arlington Heights, and I feel like the city is getting played as a leverage stick. It makes no sense for them to build in Chicago to finance a public property, because that's what Kevin Warren said. We'll put $2 billion in for a public stadium. Like, the city will still own it. We're getting played, but that's another.
Now we left the field. We're in the. The stadium aspect, that's the Monroe Anderson theory, just to localize it for the Ben Jarofsky show. Monroe Anderson's position has been that the Bears have no intention of going to the lakefront. They're merely trying to force Arlington Heights to back off on its insistence that the Bears pay a greater percentage, a greater portion of property taxes than the Bears want to pay. And so that's exactly what's going on. So I guess Bernstein agrees with Monroe Anderson on that one. Listen, the Bears have been all over the map when it comes to stadiums. It's hard to figure out exactly what they're doing. Similarly, they're all over the map when it comes to quarterbacks. It's hard to see what they're doing. It seems to me that the Bears can't make up their mind. And they're all over the map. They just wander around. And I'll tell you this. Here's the difference between the NFL and the NBA. In the NBA, when there's a big-time player coming out, everybody's focused on him. Zion Williamson, 2019. We got a tank, Ben, so we can get the draft choice number one and get Zion Williams. Victor Wembanyama. Ben, we got a tank. We got to get Victor Wembanyama. When it comes to quarterback, nobody knows. Like, you would think if Caleb Williams is as good as he is, if he's the Victor Wembanyama of NFL, if he's a Zion Williamson of the NFL, if he's a Derrick Rose of the NFL, if he's a LeBron James in the NFL, it'd be like, yeah, we got him. But nobody says that. Even the Bears don't say that, Muiz. So football is the weirdest freaking sport. It's illogical. It's so cold and cruel to its players. These players are treated like meat. And what you said is true. So right now, here's what Muiz said, ladies and gentlemen, Bears fan. This is what he said about you. You are so fickle that the guy whose jerseys you are buying now and love, you will drop him in a second if the next guy proves to be good. That's what you're saying, Muiz.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then we justify it like this. Oh, I'm a fan of the Bears. You know, I've loved so many people who are already making the case that who have talked nonstop nonsense about Justin, that if Justin is a quarterback, they'll be like, I'm a Bears fan. I support him. I'll support him anyway. After they've insulted every single aspect of his right. But that's what people do. And for me, I'm just at the end of the day, the uniform is not as important as I care about people. You know what I mean? Like people who are willing to labor, to the extent that Justin Fields has, they deserve their flowers, and they deserve to be developed the right way, and they deserve to play. And also, it's the teacher in me, right? Like every single teacher in Chicago, especially our Chicago public school teachers and our honorary Chicago public school teacher, Ayo, on the Bulls, we all look at ourselves. Yeah, that's what's up. We all look at ourselves a million times in the classroom before we look at our students and what they're not doing, right? Like, I'm always going to say, I could teach this better. I could create better conditions in the classroom. I can build a better relationship. I can continue to be better my pedagogy can get better before I say that, hey, the student needs to work on themselves. I wish the Bears would treat Justin like that, where they'd be like, maybe we should get him an O-line. Maybe we shouldn't have dinged him up. Maybe we shouldn't have picked the coordinator from Green Bay just because it's Green Bay. Maybe we should get him some more receivers. Maybe because we got him a receiver, that receiver had the best year of his life on the Bears. Maybe our tight end, who people wrote off, had an amazing year because our quarterback can ball. We just need to stop looking at the new shiny toy when we have someone who has been working his tail off for us. But that's not how football works. It's a cruel sport. And the fans here, too, will – you know, just like life, right? We make excuses in the face of things going on, right? I don't want to get too global about things, but we all have to find a way to live with ourselves in a world that is extremely cruel, right? We do that with sports too, right? We move on, right? As heartbreaking as things are, we move on. And Chicago, the one thing I love about the city that's in its DNA, that it doesn't forget the people who've honored it. That's why we have this immense tie to excellent players. That's why we keep dreaming of a second coming of a Mayor Harold Washington, right? But we are also guilty in the same concept of moving on like every single person, because it's human, right, to not dwell on the past or have to constantly relive heartache. I get it.
Or to the last point you made earlier, why there's so much love for the 85 Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love making fun of them, but I understand.
I understand you're making fun of him because you weren't even born yet.
I'm 87.
So yeah. you have that millennialistic inability to remember what happened, or remember, you can't remember because it wasn't there, to care about what happened before you were born. I understand that. I've been around a lot of millennials. I will say this. I completely did. We're going to have to do a whole show about this. I think it'll be the age difference. I completely disagree with your take on what makes an enjoyable season. And I completely, it's the Rick Morrissey take. Rick Morrissey, columnist for the Sun-Times, has said more than once, all that matters is winning. All that matters is winning. If you don't win, it's a failure. Winning is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
In football. I completely disagree. In fact, I don't even think you agree, because
I want to win. Sports. I want to win, Ben. I'm sorry. But, I want to win.
Yeah,
I do, man. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sorry. Let me ask you a question. And just it's a yes or no question.
Sure.
This, okay. Was your girls' football team last year? Did they win the city championship?
No.
It's time out. It's yes or no. So what's the answer?
No.
Okay, they did not win. So was that season a failure and a waste of time?
No, but that's because I'm
for the question, Your Honor. The witness may step down.
Come on, man. Apples and oranges, bro. Apples and oranges.
Oh, man.
I don't have but it's different, right? Like, would you like people in Chicago will say last year was a failure for the Bears, right? But if you ask the players, they put their heart out there. That season, DJ Moore will never forget. Montez Sweat will never forget. Dudes will never forget. And the guy who maybe will only play up to the age of 23, maybe will get one contract, the undrafted free agent. Those dudes deserve all the love. That's a different story. But look at the Bears. I look at it as a fan, but I also look at the fact that, like, this is Chicago, man. Why are we so allergic to winning? Come on, man. Like, you can, like, this is the original franchise. This is a franchise that has money, has a willingness to spend money. They've been cheap before, but they have money. They've had draft capital. Why can't we get it right? Why can't we figure out the forward pass? Why is it so foreign? Why can't we get a quarterback?
Well, that's a different question than all, a different issue than all that matters is winning. Listen.
Just win, baby, as Al Davis said. Just win, baby. Just win.
Quoting Al Davis. Oh, my God, the Davis family. They've screwed so many cities. From
100%. City just Los win, Angeles, baby.
Oakland. And then they got a Vegas. Now they're in Vegas.
Hey, man. There's a bunch of people who are voting Trump just for stimulus checks. Nothing makes sense in life.
All right. That's a whole other issue. I will close with this. I do not believe that even in your heart of hearts, you believe that all that matters is winning. I believe in terms of basketball, the sport I know more about, you have a tremendous fondness for Derrick Rose, who never won on any level in terms of championship once he left Simeon. Okay. He did not win at Memphis. He missed a free throw that would have won the game. He did not win with the Chicago Bulls in 2011. LeBron shut him down in the decisive game in the fourth quarter. And the year he was coming back to show the world, to prove his greatness, his knee blew out. And if you watch clips of Derrick Rose and you see how much he gave to the Chicago Bulls, and the heart and soul that he played, and the excitement that he provided, I say it would be completely misguided to write it off as a failure. Well, he didn't win. That's all that matters. And I just feel, I don't even think you think that. Rick Morrissey may think that, but, you know, he's a sports writer, man. He's eating the free food they give him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even think you think that.
Well, I mean, so, you know, Ramadan Mubarak to everybody. I'm going to bring up the Muslimness in me. At an early age, you're just taught, you know, religiously and also culturally, like, love has so many different definitions. You know what I mean? There's the intensity of love scales very differently. There's a type of fulfillment and success and love that team and that Derrick Rose gave you. Right. Like, you can, I don't think anybody, and you're right, if you're arguing this point, I don't just see things in black and white and say, did we win a championship, or also it was a failure. But I think the thing is, like, there's a love for players, right? Like, that is very different than a love for a franchise. I think it's hard not to, like, sit back sometimes if you look at it analytically and say, like, man, Paxson and Gar had a couple of moves to make. And that's been the history of the Bulls for the last decade-ish, almost, like, you know, like, going back to Kobe, the potential Kobe Bryant arrival, to this, to disbanding, I'll say going back to disbanding the Jordan teams, right? There's been these moments where we were this close, right? And then also understanding the people who've walked through, like Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, like some incredible people who've walked through. It's like the way I feel about the Bears, that a core of Olin Kruth, Charles Tillman, Lance Briggs, Brian Urlacher, John Tate never won a Super Bowl, Devin Hester, right? That's at an analytical level, organizational level, where you're like, what the hell was this franchise doing? But then there's a love for players and the memories and the joy they give us that comes back to the heart of being a sports fan. I don't think any season is an abject failure. I don't think like that. But I do think that at some point you want to see all these players that you love get competence in a franchise. That I want to see Justin Fields have an O-line, have a quarterback, have this. I wanted to see Derrick Rose get supporting cast. I wanted to see Tibbs grow up and, like, actually learn how to use a rotation. Like, those things we deserve, you know?
Yeah. Well, we still haven't seen Tibbs in the rotation thing.
Go Knicks.
But, oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. You must not have seen that. That video I just sent you about one of the great moments.
Oh, I've seen everything, Bendra. I've seen all your like hate texting me. So for listeners out there, Bendrowski will just hate spam me with text messages. And like, I didn't even do nothing. I'm just a public school teacher who spends his own money in the classroom. And for Bendrowski to come out of nowhere and then just be like, hey, I heard you're an Oklahoma City fan. You're a front runner.
Oh, God.
Every day, Ben Chinosky just comes for me, dude. Every day.
He loves Josh Giddey a little too much, ladies and gentlemen.
I do not. Let's get that off the record. No, Ben.
I think we'll just edit that out right there, that part.
Nate, please.
Nate, can you put in, oh, I love Josh Giddey.
No, Nate. Please, no.
All right. We have run out of time, and because I could go at least another hour. I'm just warming up. It's sports, and we're kind of talking about my beloved Bulls. I'm having a total love attack for DeMar DeRozan these days. But we'll hold off. It's just absolutely.
Oh, Ben. So Keenan Allen, best comparison. I heard this morning someone mentioned that that's like the Bears acquiring their DeMar DeRozan. So you're going to love Keenan Allen.
Well, you know what? I'll say this about that. DeMar Keenan Allen, who, as Moise pointed out, has better credentials at receiver than any Bear that has ever played. That's just astonishing in itself. Johnny Morris, I'm doing this off the top of my head, is the all-time Bears receiver. I know there's 99% of you have no idea who Johnny Morris is. He's way too long ago. You don't even remember when he was a sportscaster on Channel 2 for years and years. So that's how he's been. He's got like 5,000 yards. This dude, Keenan Allen, has doubled that, all right? And they got him for a fourth round draft pick, which just, I find this, that just says so much about it, football. So the potential, if Keenan Allen is as good for the Bears as DeMar DeRozan has been for the Bulls, then that will be the greatest maneuver a Bears general manager has made in this century. And you can quote me on that. Moise, but it still won't compensate for trading up for Mitch Trubisky with Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, Moise.
I love this franchise, man. Some of these buffooneries, live in infamy, man. They'll chase us forever.
Why not? Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's so mind-boggling. And then I love my beloved Bears fans. Ben, you didn't know he was going to be that great. I'm not a general manager.
No, I knew. I knew that Mitch Trubisky wasn't. When they said that Toyota, that he rolled in a 97 Toyota Camry and that's what won them over, I was like, we're doomed. Yeah, we're doomed.
No, they say to me, you didn't know that. They tell me, yeah, Ben, you didn't know that Patrick Mahomes was going to be that great. I go, no, I only knew it when I first saw him. Like, I remember when I was seeing him. Anyway, I'm going to stop because it's too painful for me. All right, Moise, it's always a blast talking to you. And we'll probably do this all again right after the draft when we'll know whether they took Caleb Williams, whether they traded Justin Fields, whether they brought in DeMar DeRozan at wide receiver. By the way, did you see DeMar DeRozan throwing a football? Did you ever see that video?
Everything about DeMar DeRozan is amazing, man. I love
him. He is. I'm glad you see eye to eye with me on that one, because that he is now, I would argue, he's one of the top five Bulls of all time. Think about that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Of all time. I got Derrick Rose on that list too. All right, Moise, blast talking to you. Talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Thank you, Ben.
All right. That's Moise Boani. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everybody.